Now, as you have noticed, we're not just trying to get the letters correctly. It's important when it's relevant that we do that. We will do it. But more importantly, as we flow through the scriptures, we are trying to get the mind of God in all these things. Let me just explain something to us here as I start to this teaching in this Genesis chapter 23. There was a reason why God had these things recorded. Are you getting me? Now, the Bible says to us, Paul said it twice. He said that these things were recorded both in Corinth and in Romans and 1 Corinthians. He said they were recorded for our learning. We upon whom the end of the age has come. And let me explain the meaning of that word, the end of the age. That is the importance of the fact that it was recorded for our learning. The reason is that, you see, they say that those that don't know history, in them, history repeats itself. You've heard that thing before. That is, if you don't know that people who did this, this also happened to them. You end up repeating exactly what they did that killed them. And I see that a lot. I know you heard me say this one before, that sometimes when I see preachers and they are doing some things, I wonder whether something is wrong with their head, that apparently they haven't read. If they had read, they would have known that people who behave like this, they don't last in ministry, they don't live long physically in life. Therefore, I know that ignorance is a major part in when people misbehave. Now, because of that, now experiences, if you see the way science has worked, in fact, somebody, most of us have heard of Thomas Edison. He was one of the greatest inventors that ever lived in the world. He invented so many things, right? At least two that we know very well. One we see you still today is the incandescent bulb. That bulb out there was invented by Thomas Edison. Till today, only very little improvement has been made on it, all right? I did that quite some time ago. Now, they said the man, when he was invented the incandescent bulb, he tested it several thousands of times. I don't know for sure the exact number of times. I've heard different things. Now, but we know that it was several thousands of times. They said, they asked the man, how come you were so patient and you endured so much that you tested the thing so many times before it finally worked? He said, no, I didn't find out. Now, what he was saying is that it wasn't like we're waiting for it to work. He said, we're discovering the many ways it wouldn't work. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what for him. Anyone we tried and it didn't work, we know that that's one way that is sure that it did not work. Now, you have to understand something. A good scientist will have taken note of each one that they tried and did not work. Otherwise, after you've tried like 200 times, you will go back again and start going around in circles. So you will take note of those times you did it and it didn't work, so that there will be no risk of doing that same thing again, because it will be pure madness for you to think you will do it again and it will work when it didn't work the first time. Are you getting what I'm saying? So in the same manner, just put that in mind, and it will help you understand why God had Moses write these things down. Because he wanted them to understand how the earth is supposed to function, how spiritual things work. And I've said this so many times, and I can't say it enough. Life is basically spiritual. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, what you see physically in life is a manifestation of that which exists in the spirit. Now, so God began to give Moses revelation to record these things so that people will understand how the earth is supposed to work. Even when God made modifications, for example, under the laws of Moses, Jesus told us later that there was a modification of the natural order so that people would just agree to walk with God without any quarrel. For example, he told them, you can divorce your wives. And Jesus said it was not like that in the beginning. He said that was a modification to fit the hardness of your heart. So when such modifications will occur, God still gave us a history of what was beforehand so that we will not make the modification a permanent law. That is, once we find out that our hearts are no longer hard, then we drop that law of Moses, which says that we can divorce our wives. We know that, no, in the beginning, it was not so. Are you getting my point? Therefore, it's relevant. It's crucial to our succeeding in life that we go through everything that Moses recorded for our learning. Are you getting me? Because otherwise, we will start making the same mistakes, all right, that people made before. Like I always say, the life of Solomon. Solomon presented his body as a living sacrifice. What do I mean? He made his life an experiment. For example, if I say this to make you laugh, Solomon drank and became drunk. He staggered from the effect of wine. At the end of the day, he says it's vanity. He says it's a waste of time. Billy Graham said when he was a young boy, when Americans liberated, that is when they removed the prohibition law on the distribution of alcohol, production and distribution of alcohol, when people could now easily get alcoholic drinks any way they wanted it. His father was afraid that his children, of course, naturally didn't want the children to become alcoholics and start drinking. So Billy Graham said the man went out, bought beer, brought all the children to the kitchen, sat them down and served them beer, and said they should drink. And they drank. And he said, do you like that? And they said, no, it has an awful taste. He said, very good. From now on, you won't drink. But if somebody asks you, why are you not drinking? Say, I tasted it. It's not nice. So I'm not drinking. Because, you know, the man got them very well with that. He gave them the drink. Now, when you go out, as a young man, you go out. Peer pressure will come in. Tell your friends, is it beer? I drank it. I don't like it. Don't call me daddy's boy. I drank it. I don't know why you are drinking it. It has a foul taste. For example, I don't drink stout, personally. It's not on religious reasons at all. At all. I've tasted a number of times in my life, and I still can't understand why people drink it. Oh, God. Solomon's life was an experiment. Okay, the Jesus I was going to give is that it was because I worked those days in Lagos. The security guard in the hospital, one old man, the man said that he doesn't smoke, that he used to smoke Indian hemp as a young man. When you know the man, you know the guy was a ruffian as a boy. And that, why did he stop? He said anytime he smoked, he became stupid. That if you slap him like this, he would just smile. And that he knew what was going on, but he couldn't help it. So he stopped smoking. He said, this is not necessary. That's, I mean, we will. I don't mean cigarette. I mean, mukui. I mean, people say that fella was bold. I said, if you to smoke, Igbo, you go waka naked. It's not, for a man who has smoked, to remove pata is not hard. Oh, God. What I'm trying to say is that these are the things that Solomon did. All right? No, really. Solomon said, I checked out how to stimulate my body with wine. That's what I'm amplifying for you to see. That is, that was a type of drugs. That is, what effect will chemicals have on my brain? So at the end of the day, he said, this thing is a waste of time. It's pure folly. Please excuse me. I don't think I want to get involved in it. Now, after experiencing all those things, he now recorded them so that when you will come later, you will not waste your time trying to experiment. Do you follow my point? That is, no matter how much I don't like my wife, you know what I mean, quote, maybe she annoyed me. No matter how much I like other women that are not my wife, I won't marry more than one. Because Solomon married plenty and said, bros, come, it's a waste of time. Let me just warn you. Are you following my point? Without experiencing it, I take the word of Solomon as true. Say, bros, thank you very much. Solomon said, I gathered for myself the pleasures of all men, many concubines. At the end, he said, vanity upon vanity. I have found out that there is nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth. You get my point? So why should I marry three wives? So to discover what I could have told, what I was told at the beginning, which I refused to imbibe. I tell people, stop trying to learn from experience. Some experiences don't give you a second chance. When you go near a NEPA installation and they say danger, believe them. Because if you want to find out whether it's real danger, it's your children that won't try it again. You're gone. You're getting the logic. And that's why we are taking time out to look through the scriptures so that we will understand how to walk with God. Because I said something to us a few weeks ago, that God doesn't bless people despite all their failings and all of that. That is, David had failings. Listen, it affected the amount of God he could experience. Do you get my point? That is, when God wants to bless you plenty, he has to remove certain things. That was why he did not bless Jacob early. Jacob suffered for a long time that God might convert him. It was conversion process. Isaac didn't suffer so long because he was well converted from the beginning. But Jacob suffered and suffered. What God was doing was converting him. So on his way back, God now showed him, said, do you know what we've been doing all the while? Let me show you. Let's start wrestling. So God said, this is what I've been doing with you for the last 20 years. Wrestling. You will not just agree. Are you getting my point? God was telling him, oh boy, you're just too stubborn. So the man had to suffer to be able to inherit the promises of God. And we are learning what to do and what not to do so that we might inherit the promises of God. Are you getting my point? And that's why we are going to the scriptures like this. We'll go through Genesis. Why did God create everything? What was he achieving? I mean, between Genesis creation and Abraham, we saw how God drew the thing down. You know, a friend of mine called me yesterday from the U.S. And he said, look, I don't know what's wrong with the black man. I said, I know. He said, what? I said, cursed be Canaan. I said, it was not only Canaan. It was also cursed be Ham. And cursed be Mizraim. I said, do you get the point? I said, that's why they are misbehaving. I said, a servant of servants. So when God gives them natural resources, the white man will find his way down and collect it. Do you know who sold slaves to the slave traders? It was the same Africans that they met there. I said, you have to do some things. You see, curses are funny. They don't just hang in the air and start affecting you. No, they hang in the air, and then you stretch your hand and touch it, and then it's like lightning. It now gets conducted into your system. So those who are cursed, what happens is that the events of life compel them. Lack of instruction compels them to start touching curses, and it's being downloaded into their system. Do you follow my point? So those who are blessed also, for example, the descendants of Jacob, they were blessed people, all right? Because of the covenant that started with Abraham, down to Isaac, and that was upon Jacob. But God told them, wait, oh. He said, yes, sir. Did you hear me? If you do what they did, the same judgment they experienced, you will experience it. So that you can experience my blessing, please don't do what they did. Are you following my point? That is, we have established that God may have given us promises. There are many promises. Yet, for them to come, there are things that people must do and there are things they must avoid doing. And that's why we are studying the scriptures like we are studying. Do you get what I've said so far? All right. Now, let's kick on. Now, let's begin to read now. Now, because of time and there's not so much to read in chapter 23, I will summarize essentially what is there and bring out a point, then we'll go into 24. In Genesis chapter 23, what was recorded essentially was the death and burial of Sarah. Now Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah, the Bible says. Died in Kiriat Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham rose from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I'm a stranger and sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Now, please, what I want you to understand here is that he was asking for a place to bury Sarah. And then the people offered him, they said, look, take anything you want. But he said, if you read that, I don't want to spend so much time. He said, thank you very much, but please, do you mind if I paid you for what you are giving me? All right? And the man said, all right, this land that I'm giving you is worth 400 shekels of silver. And then Abraham weighed it out. If you read verse 15, my Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between me and you? So bury your dead. That's what the man, he was saying, like, why are you bothering to pay? But Abraham went ahead and weighed out for Ephron the silver which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, commercial standard. Now, that's what I want to just bring out here, because he now went ahead and buried his wife, all right, which he buried in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. This is the point I want you to understand. God had promised to Abraham that he will give him that land and give his descendants. Do you get my point? There's a reason why I'm saying this. I said before, God doesn't break laws. He follows due process. You know what they call due process? If God says that, I promise you, this house opposite there, I will give to you. What Christians think faith is that they will walk in there, knock on the gate, and say, bros, now they live for here. Say, yes. Now begin park. The guy looks at this crazy man. Say, what do you mean, park? The Lord said the house is mine. I'm like, sir, please, did we quarrel before? Please explain. No. Because here I have my documents. If the person is a tenant, look, I paid. I mean, is the landlord not the true landlord? You guys wondering. The brother says, no, the Lord said, this land I have given you. So I have come to take it. What am I trying to explain? God has told this man, this land I will give to you and your descendants. A father of many nations I have made thee. And Abraham became great. In all of that, the very land that God said, walk about, because this land is your own. Yet when he wanted to bury his dead, he did what was right. He followed due process. God had not converted the land in reality to his possession. Therefore, the man took money and bought it legitimately. I just want to highlight that thing before we go on. So the brother that God said, I'll give you that house there. Listen, this is how God does it.
before you go harassing innocent people living in their homes. All right? You should understand that God doesn't give you houses like that. What he does is that after you have claimed the house, while people are not looking, you gently go and walk around their fence and say that, I have possessed it. Fine. The day of possession, you shall come with cash. Are you getting the point I'm making? The day of possession, the land will be legally transferred to you. Are you following the point I'm making? Because, you see, I've heard people say things like, you see, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Therefore, I've heard people say that that's why you should do business. Maybe you want to do business and you have a friend who is a rogue, is a thief, all right? You now say that, okay, I mean, he's a 419 man. He should come and join hands with you and do business. Listen, even though the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, it's not transferred like that. Are you getting my point? The transfer process will be legal and legitimate. It will not break moral codes. It will not break the laws of God. I want you to understand this point. Because people, you know, we find money that somebody forgot on the road. He say it's blessing from God. I mean, he saw $10,000. You should know that, no, look, angels don't mint dollars. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What a good human being will do is to carry the money, hide it, and go and report somewhere. There's an unspecified amount of money missing. If it is yours, please come and prove it is yours so we might give it to you. A friend of mine told me something that happened once. It came to me, he said, Banky, what's going on with this brethren? They don't know anything these days. I said, what happened? He said, in his church, one brother came to testify. Praise the Lord, anybody has a testimony to the glory of God this morning? And the guy put up his hand. And he came forward. Praise God. Two of them, Brother A and Brother B, they went inside the bus. And they checked their pocket and they found out that they didn't have enough money to pay for two people. And then they sat down and began to pray and claim money that God will help them. Say, Brennan, do you know that when the conductor was collecting money, he collected from one person and forgot to collect from the other person? And the brother wanted to, he said, now listen, no. Yeah, two. They won't give the testimony and his friend. Real gist. He said, the other guy now said, wanted to remind the conductor, say, look, we haven't paid, and this is the reason. He said, he stopped him, like, why are you stopping the blessing of God? Why are you hindering the miracle that they call? And his brother said, no, this is not right. I mean, this is an oversight on the part of this man. The guy said, look, we don't have the money, so it is a miracle. My friend was like the assistant part of the church. He came and said, what is going on with this young man these days? That the man was coming to testify. He didn't know what he was doing was wrong. I'm not even something. When God wants to do a miracle, that's against moral order. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you read this book, The Midas Touch, and I think you should read it, you know, that's Kenneth Hagin, The Midas Touch. Is that the name of the book? Yeah, The Midas Touch. It's a book on prosperity. And because of experience, and this works a lot, not just the spirit is very important, but like John said, that which we have heard, seen, all right, and then we have handled. That's what I want to bring out from there. Experience allows you to handle things. Kenneth Hagin handled a lot of things, and therefore he could balance a lot of teachings. Midas Touch was a balance on prosperity. He said that people preach all kinds of things. You know, I've been warning you about it. You know, this is not just me. He said that he doesn't understand the kind of messages they preach on TV. He watches TV, and a man is preaching, you sow a seed for supernatural debt cancellation. And he's looking like, what? Please explain. That you are owing. You use a credit card or you took loans from the bank. Now you are owing $50,000. And you are believing God for supernatural debt cancellation. Kenegan said, even if the people forgot to ask you for their money, a good Christian will go up there and say, sir, please be patient with me. I will pay. Then he doesn't understand this false doctrine of supernatural, that the people just forget to ask for their money. If they walk up to you and say, the Lord spoke to us to forgive you of your debt, you know it's possible. It's unlikely to happen, but let's assume it happens. That is a different matter. But that if they just sat down and they forgot to ask you, that a good Christian should just say, please, oh, I know I'm owing you 50,000, all right? And give me time, I will pay. That the miracle that God will work for you, you are getting the point, is that he will show you favor. The people may reschedule your debt. They may drop your interest rate. They may do things. They may write off some. Maybe they tell you that, okay, if you can pay $20,000 within the first 2 years, we'll write off $10,000. That those are the things that God will do for you, not that somebody will just forget to... You get what I'm saying? Now, what I'm explaining from here is that though God was giving that land to Abraham, he obtained it legitimately. Are you getting my point? Look, if it is today, that the nation of Israel wanted to go into the promised land, do you know they will use a different order than was? What I'm saying, I'm very serious about that. Now, if you invade a country and take over their land, the rest of the international community, they don't go green for you. This day and age, there are other ways you do such things. In the United States of America, they bought Alaska. You've heard of Alaska? Alaska was bought with money. You are getting the point I'm making? So in life, every blessing that God will bring to you, he will bring it legitimately. Alright? Angels don't meet money. If you find $10,000 on the road, somebody lost it. In Christian integrity, take it, keep it, announce that an unspecified amount of money is missing. Somebody, please, come and claim. Don't even tell them the currency. Let the person walk up and say, it is $10,000, it is mine. And then, are you getting what I'm ready to say? Don't say, this is breakthrough from the Lord. Let's just bless it, cleanse it with, in case it's blood money, we'll cleanse it with bigger blood. Ever since I heard that, I've not recovered. Oh my God, the Lord is good. I hope you have understood that. All right, let me leave that and go on to Genesis chapter 24. Then now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. I just want to say something about that. Don't you think we should say something about that? Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. First caution, most people want to be young and very young in age, and the Lord has blessed them in every way. Listen, brethren, again, look, I know my gospel may not be popular. Somebody wants to preach an urgent breakthrough for you. It's not me. Do you follow my point? You know, I'm not going to bring to you the urgent breakthrough. Say, brethren, don't worry right now. Look, if you achieve everything, now that you're only 25. So what is left? You may just could die when you're 26. Let me so. Who's praying to die a year after now? Nobody. you see, this is so important. One of the things that people didn't understand about faith was that they didn't teach enough, or people refused to hear it, about faith and patience. Are you following my point? That is, all these things we talk about. You know, today I was thinking about it. I was thinking about Kingdom Word Ministries. Kingdom Word Ministries, that is, this work that we do here, the materials, CDs and everything. And all right? Now, I was just discussing, and then something came to my mind. That, do you know, we rented this hall about... almost 5 years now. No, 4 years ago. Yeah, over 4 years. So I was just thinking, as I was walking around earlier before people came, I said, now wow, that all we have just been doing is dedicatedly teaching the word. Are you getting my point? And I'm just watching things growing. And you know one thing I said on Saturday? When I was driving to work today, the thing didn't leave my mind. I spent all the time from my house to my office thinking about how I would spend 12 billion naira. I'm very, very serious. I spent all the time thinking. I told you before, there is nothing like that I have imagined constantly that doesn't come to pass. I have at least 4 people queued up now to give to Kingdom World Ministries 1 billion naira. They don't have it yet, you can be sure of that. Just by the way, I stayed up late last night praying for them. Not the 4 people, all the people. Believe me, spiritually I said they will be empowered. I will be the priest, you know what I mean, in Israel, waiting to receive the sacrifices. I am serious. Oh my God, I am absolutely certain. I have thought about it. You know, something even helped me. I converted $1 billion in Naira to US dollars of today. As multi. People have been giving things like that. Come on. They will do it. Most certainly. You know, you can be sure that by next year, I'll begin to consider it too small. That's today, as I was driving to work, I was wondering, okay, cost of satellite transmission. We'll have a big media center. My mind was working and working. I said, we're not doing any trade, We won't say, now we have so much money, let's go and buy stocks in one bank and take over a bank. It's not our assignment. It's those brethren. If I tell you this, it'll make you laugh, and it's going to happen. I imagine that I will say that after we start our satellite network, satellite TV, I will go up to DSTV and say, include it in your bouquet. And they will look and say, why? I will say, because it is good for you and I need it. Include it in your bouquet. And they will say, sorry. And I was, this is my imagination this morning. And I will look at them and say, listen, are you daring me? I say, listen, I'm giving you 24 hours to make up your mind. If you don't, I will run you out of the market. And the guy will look and say, you think you can? And I was thinking about it in my mind. Now, to tell you that I will not because I have money, no. That there and then, I'll just take my phone, call one of the guys, one of the people giving you 1 billion naira. Let's assume the person's name is Fred, Maybe the person's name is Angela, And just say, Angie, how are you? How's your husband? All right, call him for me. Please, guys, I'm right here in DSTV office. They are irritating me. I want you to run them out of the market. And they'll say, yes, sir. And I'll hang up the phone. Tell this man, you just lost your job. You just lost your customers. No, and I mean what I'm saying. Really. What they will just do is that launch out into the market, they look, get their own list of stations, and give out free decoders and charge 500 naira a month. I say, see, I warned you. And you know the interesting part? No, I told you that these transactions will be legal. DSTV will look at it and say, sir, we are very sorry. I say, it's too late. I offered you the best right. You see, you sold it. Somebody, listen to me. Oh, that's how powerful I am going to be on earth. I will not be the one to do it. I don't have that time. The closest to me that would do is probably my wife. You get my point. I refuse to give myself headache of what is the share price of what's the name of that your company? You are not starting one. You guys are not dreaming yet. Look at these people. No, you want to buy one though, or you want to make your own? Listen. Let me tell you something. I'm serious about what I'm saying. Do you know before my wife conceived for the first time, I named my first son Akinlu David. I named my second son Olugbenga Daniel. And my third son, if I have another son, his Yoruba name will be Olusegun. Nothing to do with the current president. It's just that Olusegun means the Lord has conquered. The victorious God. That's what it means. That's what I'm thinking about. If you are sitting down there, you have not named your companies now, I don't think you are very serious. I say you don't plan to start one. If you're a preacher like me, what's the name of your ministry? Go ahead. Do you get my point? You can modify it later, but have one now. Are you getting the point I'm making? If I forget even, if so, I can call my son. I tell DSTV, I say, this boy, he's going to kick you guys out of the market. What is the offense? We wanted to preach the gospel on your bouquet and you refused. Now, why am I saying these things? I was imagining it. Kingdom World Ministries officially started maybe about the year 2001. That would make it the sixth year now. As at this convention, I went for the sixth year. I am not in a hurry. When I say I'm not in a hurry, it's not that we are slack. But I know for certain. Now, we are only preaching on Cosmo FM. Look at the person who wants to be terrorizing people like DSTV. He's only preaching on Cosmo FM. But back to our scripture. Now, Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. So you get my point. I am not in a hurry. We are growing. We are not yet old and advanced in age. So we know for certain that God will most certainly do things. I'm not, look, you're competing with your, you left school last year. Your friends are now driving brand new Toyota Avensis. So? God doesn't owe you much yet until you are old. No, listen. It's when you look back, you will know exactly what God did for you in this season. Are you getting the point I'm making? Look, God will walk. Believe me, I believe that thing very, very, very absolutely. That's why we are studying the scriptures. Because what we are trying to see, God told them that, look, I'm taking you out of the Egypt. I'm taking you out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, these are the laws by which you will operate that you might live long in that land. Are you getting the point? So when God is taking people out from one place to another place, he starts teaching them early the laws they will operate so that the blessing will endure upon them. I don't believe I'm wasting my time. No. These words that I'm preaching, they can't go anywhere until they are fully fulfilled. Are you getting my point?
Now let's get down into the rest of the chapter 24. I just felt like emphasizing that. He said, Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned. Now place your hand under my thigh that he was going to take an oath. And what was it? He said, I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaan, among which I live. But you go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. Just by the way, if you go back, take a few steps backward. We won't talk about it. You see, at the end of Genesis chapter 22, you see that there, I told you before that these stories were written around Abraham from creation to this point. You see that an analysis was made there of the relationship between Rebekah and Abraham. If you can look at that from verse 20. Talking about now Milcah also had born children to your brother Nahor. And then he talked about how that person was related to this and this and that. And where Rebekah came in. Verse 23, you see. Alright? So I just wanted to bring that one out. These scriptures, they had a purpose when they were being written. Alright? Now, so he told him, make sure you go and take a wife from amongst my relatives. Alright? And that's in verse 4. And the servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Shall I take your son back to the land from where you came? The man said, no. Listen, you will not take my son back because the promise of God is more important than that wife. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That if the woman will not come, then you are free from the oath. That is, Abraham was making something clear. That the walk with God and the promise of God is more important than the man taking a wife in life. That's essentially what he was saying. Now, what we want to see here actually is how this man went and got a wife for Isaac. Now, it's a very long story, so we'll not read it, but that's essentially what is written in Genesis chapter 24. In fact, my Bible titles it, A Bride for Isaac. And in verse 15, it says, Rebekah is chosen. Now, a number of things I will emphasize here. Let's just quickly run through what happened. The man traveled down. Before he went, his master blessed him and said that, the Lord, the God of heaven, verse 7, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. Now, if you notice something here, just something we have to understand in life. First, you must define your standards, all right, before things agree to cooperate with you. Because one of the things that happens in life is that temptations come to want to make you change your standards. This is what I'm going to say. Abraham was emphasizing on the promise of God. Are you getting that point? And then, so they said that what if the woman will not want to come? The first said, let us start from there. One, you are not going back. Under any circumstance, will you take my son to go back to where his wife is staying? I hope you are following my point. But having said that, he now went ahead to explain, but don't worry, the angel of God will go and help you. Please notice this, before he said that God will make that thing happen, he first drew a line that even if God doesn't do it, we are not crossing this line. You are following the point I'm making? In life, you must set those kind of standards. Those are the things that show that you are really working with God. It's not that it became necessary. Otherwise, you know, the young man had to take a wife. The man told him, look, God can refuse to help you, fine. But this guy is not going back there. Because God told us to leave that place and come here. We're in the place of God's appointment. There's no exigencies now that will now make us relocate back to where we forsook. You are getting what I'm saying? All right. Now, let me just go on. I'll develop some things more there. So after they made that, they set that important boundary, he now prayed. He said, God will send his angel and they will help you. What I want to address today, actually, there are a number of things. Because you see that what he was saying in effect is that it is God that's going to choose the wife. It's not you. That's number one. There are two CDs I have of Derek Prince on marriage. One is Let God Choose Your Mate or something like that. Derek Prince was teaching about how God chooses mates for people. People have said things like, does God ordain one man to marry one woman? And it's basically, essentially, the answer is yes. Basically, essentially, the answer is yes. So what you are doing, like I said to us on Saturday, that, see, you really cannot think ahead of God. You only think you can. Do you get my point? I'll see people tell me that, look, you will bring the husband you find or the wife you find and you bring for God to approve. Listen, that's how it appears in your eyes. In the eyes of God, these people did not know where they were going, all right? But God had gone there ahead of them. So in the eyes of God, he's the one that is choosing your inheritance for you. Why I'm saying this thing is that, you see, you must have a kind of mindset in everything you are doing. It's when you understand things like this that it doesn't hurt you. When somebody refuses to marry you, it becomes what? A discovery. See, I thought you were the one. Now I found out that you are not the one. All right. There's no need to be angry. Do you follow my point? I thought you were the one. Obviously, I was mistaken. It's when you thought that it was your decision to make to persuade the woman, to woo the woman and show her, and to attract the man and do the things necessary to ensure that he comes to the place where God cannot put a stamp of approval. That's when you get angry and you get offended. You start wondering that, what is wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me? How come? The first three women I proposed to, they just said no, like that. There must be something wrong with me. You sniff your shirt. There is nothing wrong with you. Are you getting my point? If it happens like that, just understand that it's a revelation. That they are not the one. Do you follow my point? When Samuel got to the house of Jesse, first one, the Lord said no. Was he angry with the man? What was it? He just discovered that he wasn't the one. It's a discovery. Then, after that one, the next one came. No, there's no anger. That one went. And they kept on going until everybody finished. When each one failed, it was a revelation that it is not that one. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Now, please, the next point I want us to understand from here is that, let's continue, because of time, I don't want to read everything. It's a story we all know, I believe. And if you don't know it already, please go and read the story and try and know the story. All right, so I said that I don't want to read all the stories, but then I'm just highlighting something. So there he said that point, and then the man now took off. Now, Abraham was a very wealthy man. So when his servant was going, he took a lot of money with him. All right? And he prayed a prayer in verse 12. He said, "O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water." Please notice verse 14. This was after he got down to where he was going, actually. Notice verse 14. Now, please, I want you to notice this as I read it, because it's just to prove the point I have made. He said, "Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, 'Please let down your jar so that I may drink,' and who answers, 'Drink, and I will water your camels also,' may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master." Please, I want you to understand something here, because this has raised a lot of questions amongst New Testament Christians, of course, believers. They say that it is wrong to lay fleeces before God. Some say, is it right? Some have said categorically that it is wrong to fleece. You know what it means to fleece? It's very simple. For those who don't know, let me quickly clarify. What this man was saying is something like a fleece. He said that, now I will say this. In fact, it's even worse than a fleece. I'll tell you what I mean by fleece. Because a fleece, the origin of fleece, as you know, was from Gideon. Gideon wanted to know that, "God, are you the one sending me?" He said, "Okay, let me put this skin of a sheep, the fleece, all right? Wool, put it on the floor, and then let rain fall all around and not fall on it. Then I'll know you are the one." So the man went away and came back, and rain fell everywhere. That one was dry. He said, "God, no, that's not enough. This time around, let dew settle on the fleece, and the remaining area be dry." And then God obliged the guy. You know, the guy was still afraid. God finally told him that, "Okay, go to the camp of the Midianites, and you will hear something that will encourage your heart." And he found two men discussing. And one of them said, "Man, I had a dream." "What's the dream?" "Say a loaf of bread just fell upon the camp, and we all died inside." "Ha!" That one said, "The loaf of bread, it is Gideon. It is Gideon. That small fry is about to come and fry us." Are you getting me? And Gideon was very encouraged and he left. Now, but let's get back to the matter of fleecing. That's the origin of fleecing. So people ask things like, "Okay, when I get to class today, let the lecturer come wearing a white shirt. Then I will know that it's the will of God that I take this particular course next semester."
All right? Because this man's, I heard his course is very, very difficult. If it is the will of God that I should take it, let him come today wearing a white shirt with red stripes. And if he comes like that, I know it's the will of God.